Welcome back. You just say get started.
I thought you were going to say something like 3, 2, 1. Oh, no, no, no. Jesus Christ. All right. I'm done. Go ahead.
Leaving it in. You can, this is how the podcast
leave it
is
started. Leave it in. Let's go.
Welcome back to the Red Sox Precap Podcast. Podcast with Over the Monster Podcast Network, where we recap the series that just ended, preview the series that's about to start for your Boston Red Sox. I am your host, Keaton DeRocher, joined and interrupted by Brian Joyner for this episode of the podcast. Brian, thanks for joining. How you doing?
I mean, that's just great radio, baby. That's just what we do here on the Over the Monster Podcast Network, especially when we're on a two-series AL East series winning streak. Series type thing.
Two's a streak, baby. Hell yeah. All right, well, let's just dive on in then, huh? Friday night, Red Sox get the win 3-2. Pitching matchup, Nathan Eovaldi versus Domingo Germán. Nathan Eovaldi goes 6 innings pitched, 2 runs, 2 earned on 8 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. After Eovaldi, Barnes, Brazier, and Whitlock all followed with clean innings. Whitlock went for 2. We had a 3-hit day from J.D. Martinez, including the game-tying single in the 9th, and then trade deadline acquisition Tommy Pham walked it off with a single in the 10th. First, let's get your thoughts on Eovaldi.
I mean, this is what you want. I mean, this is exactly what you want. Eovaldi, there's been a lot of I'm not going to say revisionist history, but revisionism on contracts that players signed to get the Red Sox in this particular position. And Eovaldi's was definitely at the time not a no-brainer, at least to the Twitterers, which I know is not saying a lot because there's never a consensus. But this is precisely the type of game you want him to have in this situation. You want him to have it. The broader point funneled into the narrow one is that this is why he's here, and this is why he's stuck around. He can have games like this, and I'm just so excited that we won our quote-unquote second series against the AL East. That
yeah, a lot of hits in this one. Gave up 8, didn't have a ton of strikeouts. The velocity is still a little low. Does that concern you going forward, or do you think just as he showed in this game, his ability to work around it, you're still confident in his abilities every time he goes out there?
No, I'm more confident in his ability to get the velocity back, because this is a guy who, in the second week of March, is throwing 95. So I think that regret, it's more, I trust innate ability. innate ability. Well, we'll see. I mean, it kind of doesn't matter because I don't consider the Red Sox actual contenders this year. But,
well, spoiler alert for a later question.
Yeah, I didn't read that far down. It's like 10 p.m. on a Sunday. So, it's not even 10 yet. Oh my God.
Almost 10 p.m.
Yeah. All right. No, I mean, he's Nate Eovaldi. I think all Red Sox fans should be forever grateful for all his contributions. And this is a pretty solid one.
Yeah.
Results wise, like sometimes the process is good and the results aren't good. And sometimes the process isn't great and the results are good. I'll just take it.
Tommy Pham has had a nice little early tenure with the Red Sox so far. So we had a little bit of distance now between the trade deadline. What is your thoughts, early thoughts here on the trade deadline additions?
Well, I think that Pham, who said that he considered signing with the Sox, Bloom likes him and he seems to return the favor. If he can stick here and work out, if he can stay healthy and play, I mean, he's a... I have problems with some of the trade deadline overarching trade strategy guidelines, but I have no problem with Tommy Pham as a player and as a Red Sox, and he seems to have brought a jolt to a group of outfielders that sort of needed that to happen. One of whom is not on the team anymore. He's on the Blue Jays now. I won't name names.
Don't think you have to. All right, moving on to game two. We had Carter Crawford versus Frankie Montas. The Red Sox take the loss 3-2 in this one. Carter Crawford, though, looked pretty darn nice for the most part. Six innings pitched, two hits, two runs. He had four walks, a little bit wild there, but did get five strikeouts. Sawamura followed with a clean inning, and then Schreiber followed trying to get through two, but did allow the go-ahead run to score. On the offensive side, we had two-hit day for Verdugo and McGuire, and that was mostly it. What were your thoughts on another nice little start here from Carter Crawford?
You know, this is where false hope can start to creep in. It's this sort of start. So, hey, what if we get this sort of start every couple weeks till the end of the season? And then you start to look at the wild card standings. You think, I mean, it's obviously great. It sucks that Red Sox legend Frankie Montas would perform violence upon our team. But that's his job. Look, I'm having a hard time nitpicking the game the Sox lost in the actual series of more than one game they won for the first time against the AL East this year, especially when it was 3-2. So,
agreed.
Yeah, it's like something good finally happened. Let's just focus on the good thing.
Yeah. Schreiber and Whitlock, though, are keeping used in multi-inning stints. How sustainable do you think that is going forward, and how do you think missing Tanner Houck for however long he ends up being out here is going to mess with the back of the bullpen if these guys keep going two innings at a time?
You know what? I'm going to turn this around on you. You answer the question.
Okay. Well, I think this is the one thing that I think we keep coming back to with Cora is overusing guys in the bullpen, and I think Schreiber and Whitlock being the two guys that they really trust here at the back of the bullpen, I'm afraid that they will get overworked without having Houck there. So hopefully he's not out for very long, and then he can get back into the mix and sort of straighten some of the stuff out. I know since Whitlock returned from the IL, he had his usage had been going 2-3 innings at a time and then getting 2-3 days off. That got scrapped today, which I was kind of happy to see, because he went 2 innings on Friday, which meant that on that same little process, he would have been unavailable for the rest of the series against the Yankees. But he came in tonight, finished it off, and got the save. So it was really nice to see that break and actually use our best pitchers in the situations when we needed wins. So that was really good to see. Hopefully that trend continues. But continuing to lean on Schreiber and Whitlock a lot for long outings while Houck is out for any kind of really extended period of time, I do start to worry about the dreaded overusage. So hopefully that just means that Houck won't be out for long and we'll start sparing these guys. That's my thoughts.
That is word for word what I was going to say. So that's amazing.
Great minds, they say.
Amazing coincidence. So, that makes... Look, the Red Sox are a very classic fringe playoff team, and if they want to... And that definition gets bigger as the playoffs expand. But, you know, they need X number of things to go right. And the bullpen is a very clear place where that is the case for this particular team. So we will see.
They say it's the hope that kills you.
Yeah, that's... I'm not known as the cheeriest guy around over the monster, so I might not be the right person to check in on that.
Speaking of cheery, how about Game 3, where we get a series win versus the Yankees? Michael Wacha making his return after a combined no-hitter, right? With the Woo Sox. That was nice. 7 innings pitched, 2 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. Boy, he looked good.
That was Michael Wacha. That was Jacob DeGrom. Sorry. Yeah. That's like that game was over in 2.5 hours, and it was over before that. Like, just I think that Michael Wacha might be telling his grandparents about that game tonight. Like, he's been on very good teams. I think he has a World Series ring with the Cardinals, but I'm not sure. It's just Sunday night was a night where he had everything. And that's awesome for him. Like, it's going to be one of the best days of his life. And if we just do that every day, we will win the World Series. So I think that we should just do that.
Yeah. Brazier and Whitlock followed, as I mentioned, Whitlock getting the save. His fourth of the season. We had a 3-hit day for Tommy Pham at a leadoff spot. Devers had a 2-hit day, one of which was a 2-run homer. You kind of mentioned your thoughts on Wacha there already. You led a little bit in this question already, but what does Waka's return do for the starting rotation going forward? And speaking of hope, 4.5 games back of a playoff spot with 46 to play. Is there enough time? Keep this momentum going?
I mean, there's definitely enough time. The whole thing with the Red Sox under Bloom is just process. Just keep playing the games and hope you run into a winning streak. And if they do, they get right back into it in 2 weeks. I mean, it's just, that's what he's looking for.
3 out of 4 is a good start.
I mean, mathematically speaking, it's just true.
That's 750 baseball to keep that going. I'll turn some heads.
They're just math will do it to you guys.
It always does. Who is your MVP of the series?
I mean, I think I'm going to go with Wacha after
tonight. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how you couldn't. I mean, Tommy Pham did have a nice little series, but after this performance by Wacha in prime time locking down the series, no brainer.
I didn't even see that you had him listed as your MVP of the series, but it like,
yeah,
hard to have a game like this that could be your best start ever, and it not be the MVP of the series, especially when you beat the disgusting Yankees, fucking
Totally agree. Gross. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back, preview the series against the Pirates. All right, you're up to the minute standings in Major League Baseball. The Yankees are still in first in the American League East, 72-42, 10.5 games ahead of the Blue Jays, 61-52. 11.5 games back are the Rays, 60-53. 13 games back are the Orioles, 59-55. 16.5 games back are the Red Sox, 56-59. So, now, series against the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are 45-70. Not looking great. Pitching matchup for this series, Pivetta versus Keller, Hill versus Brubaker, and Eovaldi versus Bryce Wilson. What do we think of those pitching matchups?
I mean, if the Red Sox don't win at least two of these games, you can just throw the season in the garbage. And that's not like a value judgment. That just like there's not a lot of time left. They need to make up games. And the Pirates are terrible because they always are. So my advice to the Red Sox is to just win at least two of the games.
Yeah, this is the perfect series to follow up the momentum that you just got.
It really going. Is. Like, you couldn't ask for a better situation.
No. The lineup, Pittsburgh's rolling out here. We got Ben Gamel leading off. Brian Reynolds is hitting second. Brian Hayes third. O'Neill Cruz batting cleanup. Kevin Newman. Bly Madras. I'm not entirely sure that's a real person. Greg Allen. Tucupita,
Marcano,
Jason DeLay.
He came there's a couple names in there I just butchered. In a Padres deal, he was a Padres, and obviously I'm Bryan Brian, Cabrian, and I like you know I can't wish him any ill will. Just not, you know, it's just not gonna happen. Now, if there's
Brian name, is like a couple's mashup name for us.
Yeah, there's no Keatons in baseball because they know better than to have your name. Anyhow, yeah, but the point being that outside of I think O'Neill Cruz, who's like awesome, there's the Red Sox. For as difficult as things have been recently, this is a series where they should win two out of three games at least. And if they are going to make a real playoff run, should win all of them.
Yeah, my prediction was that they just keep the momentum going, get a nice little series sweep for themselves. And my prediction for MVP is Rafael Devers, just because it seems like low-hanging fruit. He's really good, and these pitchers are very bad.
Are you excited? Are you excited to see Chavis again?
Always and forever.
I don't know. I mean, he's not good, so that's weird, but okay.
Doesn't matter.
That's fine. Look, I respect the love. Like, you know.
Sometimes those guys just stick with you. All right, so what is your official prediction, series prediction, and MVP?
I'll go sweep and Devers. I'm just going to copy you.
Nice. I like it. All right, well, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening. We have some other great pods on this Over the Monster podcast network. We've got the Red Sea podcast that Jake and I do. We've got the Minor League podcast Bob and Shelley do. Are you ever going to do another podcast?
Well, so Dan and I had talked about it. So there could be a Dan and Brian podcast.
Is that going to be the name? The Dan and Brian podcast?
I'm the assistant to the regional manager. The regional manager will tell you what the name of the podcast is.
Excellent. You can find us both at Over the Monster, where we write some stuff. You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Spoken Keats, and you can find Brian at
Fraulein 89. No, sorry, Brian Joyner. Brian with the Y, Joyner with an I.
Perfect. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you later in the week to recap the series with the Pirates and preview the series against the Orioles. Thanks for listening.